Welcome to this week's episode of Bright Slap. This is our third episode with your hosts, Jim and Gian. And we also have a special guest, maybe a permanent co-host. We have Jenny here on the podcast. Say hello, Jenny.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing? I'm Jenny. I'm not going to say how old I am, but I am pretty old. what do you call this?
One of the mysteries of women, right? You never ask a woman her age.
Exactly. I am into anime. I do play Magic the Gathering, and I love reading mangas, love drawing them, love writing stories, and that's pretty much it about me.
Yeah, so she's got a couple some street cred to the anime fandom.
We didn't show
just
for show.
Pick a random girl out of the street. I've actually known Jenny for quite a while, and I proposed her the idea of this podcast, and I'm really happy that she could join us over here. I think we could use a female perspective in terms of the anime and the topics we talk about, just because I think we'd be missing out on a lot if we go into some tricky territory. Maybe like when we talk about shoujo or whatnot, or dare I say yaoi, we could get Jenny's perspective. I don't know. I don't think we want to talk about yaoi. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. Look forward to the podcast. We're going to have Jenny do her top three, since we did our top three in our first episode. And then we're going to discuss what we're watching. So stay tuned. Welcome back from the break. We're going to go ahead and go to Jenny's top three. We had Gian and I discuss our own top three back in the first episode. So we're going to have Jenny do hers. I think a lot of the audience would be curious as to a female fan's top three. So take it away, Jenny.
All right. So number three on the list, we're going backwards here. I kind of have it tied right now. It's a tie between Clannad and Gundam Wing. I know I'm supposed to be a girl, I'm supposed to be liking all the shoujo stuff, right? But
yeah, pink, fluffy, super skinny guys, right?
Yeah, but I kind of like the whole mecha thing. I mean, it's different. Before, getting introduced to the whole mechanical thing, like with giant robots and this whole World War thing. I was into Dragon Ball Z, yeah. I mean, just the thought of, being able to use, superpowers and flying all over the world and stuff like that. That was really interesting, but taking this whole thing on the Gundam thing, giant robots, that's kind of interesting, that's actually possible. So, that's what really got me into it. I totally got into the whole the stats of everything about each Gundam and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, I was a total fanatic. But what do you call this? With Clannad, that was a tearjerker that totally got me. I mean,
oh man.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah, Gian, I have yet to see.
I've been telling him to watch it for the longest time.
I have. It's on my to-do list, and Gian's been telling me, I'm a sucker for those series that brings a tear to your eye. I've seen Emma. I've just rewatched Emma, and I'm watching it during work, and I'm trying to stop myself from crying watching it. So I'm assuming that Clannad will have the same effect on me, since what's happening in Emma isn't too tragic, but it is a little sad.
Yeah, it might show up in the Antarctic Treaty, would you say?
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I'm going to be forced to watch the first five episodes.
Oh, yeah.
It seems deceiving, though, because Clannad seems happy, and it looks like a moe title.
It does.
So is it a moe title? But that's weird that, I don't know, from a guy hearing a girl say that she likes Clannad. This is a show where it seems like harem status, where I only recognize one male lead, and he's surrounded by all these women.
Yeah, well, I mean, it did start off as a visual novel kind of game, so typically it is just a male character with all the girls.
Okay.
And all that.
Kind of like Higurashi, right? And Higurashi is not a harem series whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't know. Just check it out one of these days.
Yeah, that's two seasons I gotta knock out of it too.
Yes.
Dang.
You're definitely going to cry.
Were you,
I'm going to tell you that.
Were you drawn, in terms of Gundam Wing, were you drawn, Jenny, by the character designs of the male pilots? Did that appeal to you?
At first, yes, but, you know, once I got into the anime more, it was more about the Gundams itself.
You enjoyed the story more. It wasn't just,
the story,
I'm watching this because
it
has a hot guy in it.
No, well, at the time, they seemed like, I was just looking at the artwork, and it's like, wow, this is really skinny. I don't know how could you pull that off, you know? Like, a bunch of skinny guys running around doing, like, crazy stunts that could possibly break your bones, you know, things like that. It's like...
Oh, they're Gundam pilots.
Yeah, they're Gundam pilots, so, you know? But, you know, looking at the artwork now, you know, the guys do seem kind of hot. I'm gonna admit, they do seem kind of hot.
Compared
but,
to 00's... character models.
I can't stand this guy.
GM's already frustrated. I haven't seen 00 at all, but of course, being I consider myself a pretty decent fan of Gundam. I have seen the character designs, and that definitely, without a doubt, caters to women, in my opinion. Gundam Wing, it
they
didn't bother me as much.
They
weren't trying
women,
to,
but
yeah.
It kind of just happened.
Yeah, I didn't mind. I thought Hero looked pretty cool. Duo has a nice, like, rough look to him. I think the only one that annoyed me was the guy who piloted the serpent Gundam. I keep
Wufei.
I hate that guy.
Oh, he's too hardcore.
I think most people hate him anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
His character is stupid.
Yeah. Catcher was okay. I like those,
you know,
personalities.
What? That's actually Amuro's voice.
Really?
Catcher. Yeah.
Oh, okay. In the American dub, right?
American dub.
Okay.
American dub.
Yeah.
Oh,
in the end, I think in Japanese dub, his voice actress actually is was her name Ryoko from Tenshi
Muyo? From Tenshi Muyo,
yeah.
Really?
I think
and Ryoko has such like a.
I think
like
that's.
A distinct
no, I'm
voice.
Not. I'm not really sure.
We
I
don't
might have
Google
it mixed
it
up
right now.
Yeah.
Check it out later.
That's
yeah, but
cool.
I mean, yeah, I was reading up on something like that. It's somebody from Tenshi Muyo.
Alright, what's your number two? What's number two?
Number two, Chobits.
Wow.
Chobits.
Alright.
I am a big fan of Clamp. I love their artwork. Love their artwork. I mean, even with Magic Knight Rare, I loved it.
That's really old school.
Well, I'm an old school kind of girl, you know? But yeah, I mean the storyline, very interesting. Artwork, beautiful, obviously. What do you call this? The characters themselves, I could, you know, like, I could actually relate to having people in my life, you know, sort of like, sorry, like them, you know, like having a small sumomo following me around.
Oh, yeah,
I
definitely.
Mean,
I still pray that Japan has the technology for that. I'll set aside my $10,000 for that sumomo.
Definitely. I want one, too. I mean, like, every morning, Ohayo gonaimasu!
Yeah,
you know
that's all we got.
That.
I have
I would
the.
Love that.
You could get like a figure of her, and she talks. That's as close as we're gonna get. So I have that nestled on my desktop, hoping that one day she comes to life.
Okay, I have a tough question for you. Sumomo or Haharo? Real Sumomo or real Haro?
Oh no, a real Haro or a real Sumomo? Dude, you suck, man. See, Haro's cool because he gives you nice pep talks too. Oh man, you know what? I'd have to go with Sumomo just because how awesome would it be knowing me that I get lost all the time and she has a built in GPS telling me to turn left, you know?
Oh,
I'd be like,
I
would intentionally get lost just for her to go, "You're going the wrong way!" Something like that. So I would definitely get a real life Sumomo. But Haro, oh man, do I get the beach ball Haro from Mobile Suit Gundam? AKA, like, I have
half the size.
Oh, so it's, who's the main dude's name in the Unicorn?
Badger,
that small size. Oh, that's tough. I hate you. Real life Sumomo, for
yes.
Sure.
Companion cube.
Alright, so.
Back to Chobits.
So, what I find, pretty unique, Jenny, that you chose Chobits out of all of Clamp's work is that, from what I've read, Clamp created Chobits as a shonen series. So this was their attempt to cater to a male audience, while a majority of their work, like Magic Knight Rayearth and Cardcaptor Sakura was more geared towards girls and women. So why did you choose this series out of all of their works?
Gosh, you know, it's really hard to say. I mean, like, pretty much the costumes themselves, like the stuff Chi would wear.
Like those, it's like these elaborate costumes, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's really pretty to look at, you know, and I'm a girl, I like shiny things, I like pretty things, I like flowing dresses, all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah, but also really because I can kind of connect with Chi, you know, trying to look for
the innocence of her.
The innocence, you know, looking for that one special person in your life, you know, is it really going to be him or do I still have to keep looking, you know? It's pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and she has a naivety about her, I think, that attracts a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like, when I read Chobits, I really enjoyed Chi as a character because she had all these dimensions where her innocence played a comedic role, especially when she's trying to figure out how to use panties. I thought that was funny. And also just that whole, there's that one arc towards the end when she got taken advantage of by one of those lewd guys that would, I guess they do this in Japan where they would sort of they would record girls in a room and, you know, just tell her to do random stuff and girls that don't know any better. And of course, she obviously, she just stumbles into that and she doesn't know what's right or wrong. And I thought Hideki wasn't that annoying too. Because normally I would think that characters like this would totally take advantage of their situation. But he was really trying to see the humanity in Chi. And I thought Clamp did a good job trying to bridge that gap between what's human and what's considered human and artificial intelligence. I thought they played on that really well. And the fan service was, of course, awesome. from my perspective. So that's pretty cool to hear. Have you seen Clamp did a new title called Kobato? Have you gotten a chance to take a look at that?
No.
I came across it at Borders. I think you'd dig it. Just the art style alone, if you like Chobits a lot, I think just the design of the character looks pretty cool. So you should check that out. Just a suggestion.
I definitely will.
All right, so drum roll. What is number one on your list, Jenny?
Number one on my list is definitely going to be Fushigi. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I know,
I've never seen it. I'm familiar with it.
I've heard of it.
It's pretty old, but it's kind of a long series. The OVA is a little short, but I think it's awesome. You know, art style again, storyline, what else? Characters, their personalities, pretty much everything about this anime totally draws me to it.
And this series has both male and female protagonists, right?
Yes, yes.
Would you be able to give like a brief synopsis? I don't know much about it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's pretty much about this high school girl who, goes, you know, she goes to high school, she's your average high school girl.
Of course.
Typical
starting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not high school, junior high. But, you know, they go to the library, her and her best friend, they're stuck in this room, and she opens this book, or this book opens on the floor accidentally by falling, and she gets sucked into the world.
Like never-ending story.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And, you know, she gets lost and she meets this guy and pretty much, you know, at first they get into an argument, you know, that whole sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I dislike you, blah, blah, blah. And then slowly starts to fall in love with him. Mm. And turns out she is the priestess of Suzaku. Suzaku being
the land of the...
Pretty much, yeah, the southern... I don't know if it's the southern, east, or whatever. I think it's the southern part of... I don't know if it's Japan or China, but it's been a while since I've watched this anime, sorry. But she's the priestess of Suzaku, who is a phoenix.
Okay.
God of land, you know? But she goes out to find all the guardians. I believe there's 7 of them. One of them, yes, being a cross-dresser, gay, whatever, but she's pretty much the only girl in the heroine of the story.
Okay, there's only one girl in the whole series?
Pretty much, until you get kind of close to the middle or towards the end, kind of, and you find out her best friend is the priestess of the other land, Thiryu, which is a dragon, water-based. But it's really interesting. I mean, the way they tie the characters together, how they get into the book, everything about it is just awesome, you know? I mean,
did you strictly just watch the anime, or did you read both the manga and the anime?
I did both, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there noticeable differences between the two, or the anime is a faithful adaptation to the series?
There are a few things that are different, but it's pretty much the same, you know.
Same. Any filler in the anime?
No.
No random beach episode?
No.
Or hot springs?
Well, they do have like the little shorts that come in at the end of the.
Gag.
Yeah, the little gag things, you know.
Okay.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, it just goes straight on, you know.
I noticed Fushigi Yugi is a pretty old series. Was that sort of one of the earlier animes you tapped into?
Yeah, it was. It was probably the... I'd probably have to say the 5th or 6th one I got into, you know.
How'd you actually hear about it?
I heard... how did I hear about it? I guess I was at the bookstore, you know, searching through the manga section, and I came across the manga, and I looked at it, I was like, this looks interesting, you know, and I read the back, you know, I was like, okay, this story sounds interesting, so I got into reading it, and I got hooked, you know, I got hooked.
Nice. I think they call that, I remember Gian, how he saw his comment on those people that sit in Borders in the manga section and just read manga for free. And just chill there. Some would be literally sitting in front of like the manga that you need, and you need to tell them to move. They in the internet they call it people who manga cow. Yeah, so it's sort of like they're grazing in the aisle, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, I see.
So when people say, "Oh, I'm a manga cow" or "I'm manga cowing," they basically go to a bookstore and they just read manga without purchasing it.
I mean, I guess that's fine. Those guys always bug me, though, because, they're always in the way, and
they don't move.
Get around them.
Like, I do the same thing, but I do it so that I'm standing up, and if someone is searching for a title, I move out of the way, because I know,
I know the feeling,
Or I just take, because there's a Starbucks, like, not even, like, 15 steps away from the manga section, so just take your stack of manga, you manga cow, and graze in front of a table. Jeez.
Yeah, that's a hard move.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then afterwards we're going to talk about what we're watching. Okay, so right now we're just going to dig into what we're currently watching. So, we just finished watching the Laker game, Game 6.
Great game, by the way.
Yeah, we totally dominated the Celtics.
You guys didn't realize we're obviously Laker fans.
I feel bad for Boston right now. I wonder how bad Boston, like, how bad Facebook is in terms of, like, a Boston fan. I bet there's a lot of, like, crying right now. Because that was a really bad game for them.
Yeah.
20-point lead, right?
Yeah, 20-point lead. Jeez. I think we needed that, so. Cheers to Game 7. Yeah. The one that matters, obviously. And the Lakers and Celtics would go to a Game 7. It's like a build-up to, like, a big anime battle. I don't know. It's like, they're like two rivals, right?
Yeah, they're the tournament arc last.
and they did lose last time, so it could be, like, when the bad guy was, like, in his perfect form. So it took the Lakers 2 years to achieve their training arc, and now we're back, and they're going to show us the Super Saiyan Kobe. I don't know. All right, moving on from the Lakers.
So have you guys been watching anime related?
anime related for me, I've been rewatching Emma during work, the summer schedule started over at my work, and a lot of I work in a computer lab filled with a bunch of kids, and during the summer it gets a little empty, so I have a lot of downtime, and I've been rewatching Emma, A Victorian Romance, which is an awesome series, great period piece, lots of tears, and great attention to detail. It really feels like you're in England. I think the only downside to that anime is that it lacks a dub. That I think that's a real loss. I think Noizuma Entertainment.
Oh, they're the ones.
Yeah, the same people who own RightStuff.com.
They may dub it eventually. I mean, look what happened to Clannad.
I really hope so, because it deserves an English dub. I don't mind if they don't get British accents, but having this series in English would sound so much better. It's kind of like when I watched like Cowboy Bebop. It seems like those characters feel really American.
Yeah.
So I really hope that this gets picked up again, but it goes through the dubbing process. And I've also been checking out School Rumble again. School Rumble, I'm just watching random episodes, mostly focusing on Eri, since the voice actress Yui Hori will be appearing in Anime Expo this year. So she's the voice actress to Eri Sawachika, and I've been listening to it in
Japanese. That's season one or season two?
I've been playing around. I actually like a lot of the season two episodes, especially the arc where Eri's she gets engaged the runaway arc, and it has Haruma without his hairband. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, without the stash too.
So I've been watching that. Of course, the episodes where Haruma and Eri have their little moments, like when he shares the umbrella and Eri doesn't get to cook for her dad. I thought that was really cool. So I'm rewatching it in Japanese just because I'm so used to the American dub, and I love the American dub so much. But since I want to have something signed by Yuri Hori, and especially School Rumble related, I'm going to go ahead and rewatch most of the series, if not all of it, in Japanese. I don't know whether to address her as a Hime when I meet her, though. I'm really tempted to, because, okay, for the fans that are listening, I'm going to cosplay as Haruma Kenji, which is the main character in School Rumble, or one of the main characters. And like we talked about in our first episode, he has this this relationship with Eri, and they have nicknames for one another. So I will, like, fall to the ground if she calls me Hige. I will just explode with, I don't know, with what, with happiness.
I would hope so.
that would be crazy, though, if I address her as Hime and she recognizes me. I hope so. So that's what I've been watching, just rewatching a lot of old stuff. How about you, Gion?
I haven't really been watching much lately. I guess Initial D season 4.
Nice.
So I rewatched that. I won't go too much into detail since you're
Don't spoil it for me, man.
Other than that, randomly rewatching Kenichi, and we talked about that last episode, so I won't really talk about that. Mm-hmm. And that's basically it. Nothing much. Just
nothing new down the horizon. Yeah. All right, Jenny. Anything in particular that you've been watching or doing or reading?
Okay, so I haven't been watching any anime lately, but I have been reading Twilight. Okay, don't hate, okay?
I'm going to take off my shirt because I'm Jake.
Whoa.
Oh, snap, your skin's glistening right now, Jenny.
Dazzled by you. Okay, anyways. But yeah, I mean, I read the manga they did for it. But
yeah, the graphic novel, I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
It's actually well done. It's really cool.
It's by a Korean artist. You can totally tell. I mean, very, like Jimbo said earlier, half Japanese, half American style, you know. It's turning out really good. The artwork's nice. Good attention to detail.
A faithful adaptation to the source material.
Very. They just, you know, just skipped a few parts just to get by, so it's like, you know, flows much better. But you know, other than that, I haven't really watched anything.
So what made you jump on the Twilight mobile, so to speak?
All right, so I was flipping through channels one day, and, you know, passing through the movie channel, and I see I didn't even know it was Twilight. You know, I just see, you know, I see Bella, the girl who plays Bella, with her dad, and you know, I'm like, I wonder what this is about. And I didn't have my glasses on at the time. I couldn't see what was going on, what the title was. And then it just kept going, and I was like, oh crap! I just realized this is Twilight, but this is really good. I stopped. I turned off the TV. You know, decided to go to the bookstore and, you know, buy the book and start reading it, you know?
How many books is it? I always forget.
It is 4 books. Right now, they have, like, a side story of one of the characters in it who was probably in the book for probably maybe...
Two pages,
yeah, something like that. But other than that, you know, they do have one, I hear, that was supposed to be from Edward's view.
I heard about Midnight Dawn.
Yeah, Midnight Dawn.
I don't know. Like don't that. Ask me how I know that. I never read Twilight.
Somebody hasn't read the book or watched the movie.
Hey, man, I'm surrounded by like 13 to 15 year old girls. Well, that sounds awkward. But in my line of work, which still sounds awkward. Yeah. Let's just say I have my fair share of Twilight without reading any of the novels. Actually, know quite a bit of Twilight.
All right. So, if I may ask, whose side are you on? Team Jacob or Team Edward?
Ah, see, everybody always asks me that question. All the girls seem to ask me that. And I always tell them that I'm on Team Buffy's side. So, when I say that, I mean Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Personally, like Blade.
Yeah, Blade. Or if I were to go with another, like a vampire. Well, Blade is half vampire.
Yeah, but he's killing them.
Yeah, I was about to say Team Angel, too. Because Angel is a vampire, too. And I think since he's a vampire with a soul, he's a little more cooler than Jacob or Edward. May not be as muscular as Jacob, but Angel does hold his own.
Well, I guess we'll see until you read the book or actually watch the movie. I've been
pressured a lot to read the book from a lot of my friends. Obviously, all of them are girls. And I think they're pressuring me just because they know that I might like the book, and I'm sort of that sappy guy that could fall for the whole Romeo and Juliet thing they got going on with the series. I've actually read a chapter because some of the girls that are in the computer lab, they would leave some of their items in my care so that I'm watching them and they don't have to worry about that while they use the computers. And during when Twilight was at its height, I would say like last year, in terms of with junior high kids, this is the trend I saw. I would have stacks upon stacks of Twilight books on my desk. So I got bored one day and I just went, whatever. And then I picked it up and I read a chapter, and I was like, oh, I could see myself liking this. And I went, and then I closed the book from there, and I was like, oh, okay, that's enough. Yeah, I got scared that I was liking it, so I stopped right there.
Oh, well,
I might jump back into it. We'll see. There's summer reading, right? It's the summer. I got plenty of more free time. I could sneak in Twilight, perhaps, but I don't know if I'll be convinced to committing to reading the whole series. I'm not sure.
I think you will.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I never would have thought you would read Twilight.
I know. I never thought either. I mean, like, I'm more of like, I kind of want to watch boy stuff more. But, you know,
sorry. You got to indulge a little bit, right?
I know. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it matters if you're a boy. You like boy stuff. Girls.
Yeah, I know a couple guys that dig Twilight as well.
Like Madame, that's,
That's for Josei.
For older women.
Josei, so. Yeah.
And it doesn't really feel like that.
Yeah, because they got it correct. I feel like they're believable characters. So that's what I'm sort of, I get that inkling when I read a little bit of Twilight where, oh, I could see a girl like this going through high school. I actually knew a couple that felt this way, just trying to find their place in the world and kind of just being really bored with everything.
Yeah.
Right? So... Yeah. I might give it a shot. We'll see. Dare I say it might appear in an Antarctic treaty? Maybe. All right. After the break, we'll go ahead and talk about how we got started in anime and the beginnings of our otaku. Okay, we're going to go ahead and actually touch upon a topic that Gian and I tried to cover on our first episode, but just briefly talked about it, and it was how we actually got into anime, when we started recognizing that, oh, I really like anime, I love manga, and I like this genre of this particular niche of Japan. So, does anybody want to start off with their humble beginnings of anime?
I guess I'll just try to start off, but I think for the most part, we all have semi-similar things, that at least what we watched. Big thing is Dragon Ball. I'm sure we all watched that at some point. I'm trying to think what actually began. I think I caught Evangelion. That was actually the first anime I watched just randomly at my cousin's house. I didn't know what was going on, but it was an episode when Asuka and
Shinji,
they were doing their DDR episode.
My favorite episode, yes, when they have to synchronize their attack to destroy the angel.
Yeah, I did not even realize that it was anime at the time. I just thought it was really cool, and it was different. But yeah, a big thing was Pokemon in the morning. You would wake up before school, and it would just be on, I don't know, Channel 13, whatever station that was.
Now, did you get into Pokemon through the video game, Gian? Did you play? Did you see a preview of the video game and then notice that there was an animation show that coincided with the video game?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the video game started first, right?
Then
it came in the anime. I actually think I watched the series first and then found out there was a game, and a couple days later I was at the mall buying the original.
Which one, red or blue? Red or blue? Blast Force or Charizard?
Red, Charizard, red.
No way, man, it's all about blue. What are you talking about?
Like, yeah, you Squirtle lover.
Hey man, don't hate the cuteness, okay? You know he's cute with that little raspy voice kind of.
Squirtle just sounds, he sounds kind of cool. But Charmander is, like, cute. Yeah. But, I mean, I cried at that episode when he caught Charmander. I had some tears.
Dude, Charmander was the hardest starting Pokemon to.
Oh, yeah.
Because, what, first Rock, and then...
You fight Rock, and then you fight Misty, which is water. So, from my personal experience when I played that game, and I picked Charmander, not knowing those two were the first bosses in the game, the day I got Pokemon, I had a party to go to. It was a family party. And I got my Charmander from level 1 to level 36 in one day.
Wow.
And I fought Misty with a Charizard. And you don't know how many Rattatas had to die.
That's a ridiculous amount of grind.
It was crazy. I actually had to change batteries because I was playing on the old, we all played on the old school Game Boy. The big one.
Really?
So, yeah, I played
on... I had the little one.
Oh.
I had the pocket one. I started, for me, I had Zelda on the original one. Or actually, it was my cousin's, and I would play with his.
Yeah, the Zelda
for the original Game Boy. And then when Pokemon came out, I got a pocket.
I think it was the same for me. I know I had the OG one, but I can't remember what happened. I could probably give it away to family or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then Pokemon came in, and Game Boy Pocket.
It sucks because I think I went from my fat Game Boy straight to Game Boy Advance. I never owned a Pocket or a Color. So yeah, man, like that was tough. And yeah, it was the reverse for me. I saw Pokemon on a Nintendo Power when I used to subscribe to it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember seeing them preview Pokemon, and it was this huge article. And then they showed the starting Pokemon, and I saw Charmander, and I was like, wow, a dragon. I'm getting this game. Done deal. So it was the reverse for me. So Pokemon was sort of your gateway a little bit?
I mean, well, that's probably what started me to watching a lot, but the gateway is probably Dragon Ball. Definitely Sailor Moon.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was on in the morning. I think it was on before Pokemon.
It was.
Sailor Moon came on.
Pokemon was on Channel 9. Sailor Moon was on Channel 13.
Yeah, so I'd watch those. And I think they ended up changing to like Sonic the Hedgehog, which is lame.
Oh, the lame Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's two Sonic the Hedgehogs. There's an awesome one that was on one Saturday morning. And then there's the lame one that was in the morning.
Right,
yeah.
That's right.
Gian actually has the DVDs of that.
I call it the darker Sonic.
Yeah.
It was a lot more serious. Because the other one, they just talk about chili dogs. So
Chili dogs.
If Ninja Turtles was pizza, Sonic was chili dogs.
Yeah, so Street Sharks had tacos, too.
Tacos.
And the dinosaur guys from Street Sharks, they had burgers, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, what's up with that?
It was weird. I don't know how that got started, but since Ninja Turtles caught on with the pizza thing, I assume that every sort of group cartoon with, you know, guys fighting a bunch of bad guys, they had to have their food. Like, whatever.
Sorry.
And it's funny because it's not even, like, marketed. It's not like McDonald's burgers or Domino's pizza. It's just pizza.
But I think they actually marketed eventually. I'm not sure. I remember seeing stickers, like those magnets for pizza.
Really?
Yeah, and it was Ninja Turtles on it.
Oh, what?
I'm not sure who, though. I don't know if it's like Pizza Hut or whatever, but I remember seeing that.
It's weird because the only series, if we're going to jump back into anime real quick, the only series that I noticed that did super advertising was Code Geass.
They're so bad.
They had CC hugging the freaking Japanese mascot for Pizza Hut the whole time. Like, I thought that was blatant advertising. When you watch the Adult Swim versions, they have it blurred out. Because I guess this is a Pizza Hut deal that's strictly in Japan.
Yeah, because it's free advertising here.
Yeah, otherwise I think in K-On! They eat at like Lenny's or something. Like
kind of Denny's ripoff?
Yeah, like a Denny's ripoff. And then I've seen an anime where they eat at a McDonald's, but it's called Whack Donald's.
Yeah, I think School Rumble, they had it too. It's Wasburger.
Wasburger. See, it's weird. I would think anime would try to cash in on advertising a little more often, especially those high-end series.
Only because they have integrity.
Yeah, thank God for that, right? Okay, so was there an anime in particular, Gian, that made you say, okay, I'm an anime fan now?
I'm trying to think of like when I even heard the word anime, because I know you didn't realize anime was anime until later on.
Yeah, I was blindly watching these things.
Yeah, to me they were just cartoons, but I would have to say, a big factor is Toonami, and when they showed the original Mobile Suit Gundam. So that's what really got me started, because, you know, like it's different from like cartoons. It's a serious story. People are dying. There's war. Mm-hmm. So that's what I liked about it. It's like more mature.
And you notice there's a significant difference in tone when you're watching something like Gundam, and then you're checking out something like, I'm trying to think of a Saturday morning cartoon we used to watch.
Same Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody was getting hurt. They were just like tossing foot soldiers left and right, but
Nobody got stabbed by Leonardo's katanas, ever.
Yeah, nobody got cut in half or anything like that.
But in Gundam, people were getting shot, and there's some significant deaths there, too.
Yeah, people were dying left and right.
Did they air the entire series on Toonami? I never was able to check out Mobile Suit Gundam on Toonami.
I want to say they did, because I know they were in the battle about, which is the last big battle.
Uh-huh.
And they also had the different ending, the Cartoon Network ending, because they changed the... They didn't have the Japanese ending.
What was the difference?
It was just clips from the show. They have some random, I don't know, I guess jazz music, and it shows Amuro flying into space towards White Base, when the White Base gets the story ready.
So when I was watching it with your copies, did I get the Japanese ending? It's been so long since I've watched it.
I'm trying to remember, because I never really watched the endings.
Well, I know that Amuro's, he is going back to, you know, White Base, but White Base is owned already.
Yeah, it was like the last scene.
And everybody's waiting for him, too.
Yeah, it was the,
I thought it was an appropriate
name. And then he was just floating towards, like, a rescue ship or something.
Yeah. To so, Fralbo.
Fralbo.
So Mobile Suit Gundam was your key point.
Yeah. That's what kept me into anime, yes.
And then, did you... Thinking about your tastes from when you were young to now, how are they different?
I would have to say it's the same, but expanded. I try to keep an open mind. I watch more, comedic / romance stuff, things like that. Mm-hmm. Instead of just war and like
nitty gritty
fighting, Dragon Ball
political.
Aussie. Yeah, not like shonen anymore. Just broader things.
Dabbling into every genre, so to speak. Okay, so Jenny, how about you?
Gosh, that's hard to say. Well, it used to be, you know, me and my brother, we would watch Samurai Pizza Cats and Ronin Warriors early in the morning, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, get up. Before school, you know, watch some cartoons, you know, and we didn't even realize, you know, that it was anime until stuff started coming out, you know, like on Channel 13, Moon and stuff like that. You know, I would ask around, being like, you know, that doesn't look like the other American cartoons I would watch, and my cousin told me, you know, that's Japanese. You know, they call it anime. It's short for Japanese animation, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's kind of what got me hooked, Sailor Moon.
Of course.
Of course, yeah. For any girl.
And any guy.
Guys.
Come on.
Well,
hey, Tuxedo Mask is a dreamboat. Who knew it was that guy? Seriously.
Darien.
Hey.
Oh, but yeah.
Open your eyes. Sailor Moon. What's her name? I keep forgetting her name. Serena?
Serena, yeah,
there
for the
you
American
go.
One.
I'm a Sailor Mars fan, so. Just to let you know.
Stir it up.
Rei Hino, come on.
Yeah, I kind of liked Rei, but I was more of a, you know, Serena kind of person. More because, like, she had, you know, Darien, because she had Tuxedo Mask. But, you know, I also... People would mostly compare me to, I don't know if you watched more into the anime, but Sailor Saturn, she was short and she had bobbed hair. She was a young girl.
I only remember the first season, to be honest. I've been trying to search the internet for Sailor Moon on DVD, to be honest.
That's so hard
and
to
it's,
find.
You know what, this year at Anime Expo, if I come across it and it's at a reasonable price, I'll snag it. Yeah, same thing with that Midori hand puppet.
I called dibs on borrowing it then.
Okay, for
but,
sure.
I mean, as soon I would read into the manga, you know, at the bookstore, mm-hmm. just read into it. It, you know, it started to get more interesting with more characters coming in and leaving, or you know.
Were you reading the stuff? Did we have Sailor Moon translated in English, or were you reading it in Japanese, Jenny?
I was actually reading it in English. It did come out, it came out when it came out on Toonami, I think.
Okay, so they're sort of trying to cross-market it.
Yeah, that's when I saw it, on the bookshelves, and I was like, oh my gosh, they have it in comic books. I could, like, totally read this in class while I'm...
Yeah. Instead of learning, I could be learning about how these girls are saving the Earth.
Exactly. I want to become one of them, but yeah, you know.
You could, you just need to have a talking cat first.
I know.
Which too bad you have a lot of dogs.
Yeah. You know? Well, I did have a cat. I had two cats before, and I was really wanting
Were you
wanting
trying to teach one how to talk?
Kind of, yeah. It would do anything for food, pretty much.
Oh,
I'd be like, come on, dog, say mama or something, you know. But it didn't work, so.
Give me my magic wand so I could transform.
My magic pencil, because I draw too much. But, yeah, after Sailor Moon, that's when I started watching, Gundam Wing, and then it went on to Fushi Yugi after that.
And all this was sort of influenced, just like Gion, mostly by Toonami, right? On
yeah,
Cartoon
mostly
Network.
Toonami. Except for Fushi Yugi, I went like, out of my way just on my own, you know,
yeah,
cause to watch it.
I've heard about that series. Again, we touched upon this earlier. Jen and I have heard about this, but have never really watched or read it at all. But we know that it's pretty significant in terms of early, like, our generation of anime.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much those are my
Your gateway.
Foundation. Yeah, my gateway to anime. And that's how I got hooked, you know.
Was there a specific moment, like, say, reading, like, a Fushigi Yugi chapter or watching a Sailor Moon episode that you told yourself, I am an anime fan?
Oh, yeah. There was, it was a Sailor Moon episode when was this? I think it was the end of the first season.
When they were fighting Queen Beryl?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was watching it, and I was like, that's the end of the series! Oh my gosh! And I totally clicked in my head, wait a minute, I'm a fanatic now. You know, because I would go around looking for the, you know,
for
the
more,
comic.
Right?
Yeah, for more, mm-hmm. For more comics, for, you know, anything related to Sailor Moon, anything that, like, had to do with anime, I would go looking out for it, and, you know, I was just like, dude, I'm so into this now. I can't believe how into anime I am now. It's like, it's a part of my life, you know? Not only because, like, I grew up with anime, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, it's kind of part of my culture. I for those of you who don't know, I am a part Japanese. So it's like, you know, thinking about it, well, I'm part Japanese, that's part of my culture, you know? I should learn about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what got me into it, you know? Knowing that it's part of me, so.
Has your taste changed or remained the same in terms of when you, like, say you're a hardcore Sailor Moon fan, but now that you look at your fandom and what you're currently watching or have watched recently, is it more of the same? Do you still like magical girl shows, or I think they call those like Sentai shows?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but. I don't. It kind of has changed. I mean, other than the shoujo part, you know, it has changed. I'm more into something realistic, like Nodame,
mm-hmm.
Things like that.
More,
you know?
Of the slice of life drama.
Yeah.
Kind of animes.
Boys Over Flowers, you know, something like
I've
that.
I've yet to see that. I heard the Korean drama is.
Oh my god! You have to watch it.
Oh
you
man! Yeah. That's another thing. It's like Twilight and Boys Over Flowers, Jimbo. You gotta watch that.
Watch it, yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll add it to that list.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, pretty much mostly romantic, realistic kind of things, like, that would actually happen in this world. I mean, not that meeting, excuse me, real people, like, real rich people like that, you know, like mm-hmm. Boys Over Flowers. You're never going to meet a rich guy like that who's just going to be like, okay, you're mine. Let's go get married, blah, blah,
you
blah.
Just like the scenarios.
Yeah, the scenarios.
It's just, like, such a unique situation that, like, yeah, it can't happen, but if it did, this is one way it could go.
Yeah, exactly.
And it held your attention for that long.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a, getting into the mangas, watching the animes, you know, you're really, like, you can really connect with the characters is just what draws me into being an otaku, really. Like, just connecting storylines and all that stuff.
Has there any, in your experience, I'll ask both you guys, and then I'll chime in too. Has there ever been a time where we've watched, like, an anime series and go, like, we kind of question why we like anime in the first place? Have you ever seen, like, a really bad anime and just think to yourself, like, whoa, this is not how, you know, this is not Sailor Moon. This is completely weird and...
Like Queen's Blade or something?
Yeah, something like Queen's Blade, I don't know.
Yeah.
That threw you off and sort of disconnected you from being an otaku, from liking anime. Like, why do people like this stuff, maybe?
That's a tough question. I'm sure there's moments in random shows, but I can't think of anything specifically.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, I kind of stay in the scope of things I like, so...
Okay.
I mean, if you stay in the scope of things you like, you're not really going to see.
You won't be too disappointed.
Yeah, because if you see things like Queensway, you just see screenshots. I mean, for me, I'm not going to watch it, obviously. It just looks stupid to me. I'm not into, like, fan service and all that stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so for me, yeah.
Not really. You like to play it safe, right? You generally know what you like, and you just go for that. If a show that you think that you'd like ends up being bad, it's not as bad as something like something that you completely
hate. It
won't
be a Queen's Blade, or I can't think of anything
other than that. Garzy's Wing, come on.
Garzy's Wing.
Garzy's Wing.
Oh, I'd watch it for the dub. I wouldn't pay for it, but...
If I find it at AX, man, we're watching it.
Oh, man.
We'll review it. How about you, Jenny? Any weird anime?
Oh, gosh. There's only one I can come up with. I guess it's because I randomly walked into the room when my brother and his friend were watching it, but, you know, I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, we're watching this really cool anime. You should watch it. It's really funny. And oh, my gosh. I really didn't know what I was getting into. They were watching Golden Boy. I don't know.
Oh, no. Golden
Boy.
Yeah,
I know. They were watching it.
Jenny, I have the DVD of Golden Boy.
Okay, don't talk to me. No, I'm just kidding. But what do you call this? I walked in on a really bad part, you know?
Was it the episode? It's the first episode.
I think it was the first or second episode. Where it's the toilet scene. Cleaning the toilet, and she goes in.
Yeah, she goes in to use the bathroom.
Yeah, and he's thinking about it, and I'm like, whoa, that totally threw me off.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch
it. He's like, all
the
women in this office have been using this toilet. Oh, dear. And he's thinking about that.
Yeah, I walked in on that, and I was like, okay, no, I'm not watching this.
See, I thought it was the episode where he's trying to... Well, for those of you who are not familiar with Golden Boy, obviously, I'm very familiar with it. Basically, the story in a nutshell, it's a small, I think, 6-episode OVA series. I'm not sure if it was broadcast in Japan. But it's about this genius kid who quits his college life. So he's smart, but instead of pursuing a noble career being a lawyer or a businessman, he goes on his bike and he just travels around Japan thinking, I want to learn about life. I know I have all my book smarts, but I don't know anything about life. So he tackles on different situations, like what Jenny was talking about, the first episode he works at a computer video game software office. And then there's an episode where he actually works as an instructor, a swimming instructor. Mm-hmm. So he takes on different jobs, and of course, he runs into all these women. And I thought the episode that grossed you out, it freaked me out the first time I watched it, was when he goes to a rest stop and he finds that there's this biker lady that is at the rest stop. And for her, how she sort of gets pleasure, I'll just put it that way, is that she likes the revving of the feel of the motorcycle on her body. So she was doing a lot of, like, noises or... she was having a lot of fun on her bike.
Enjoying it.
Yeah, she's enjoying her bike. And when I saw that for the first time, I watched it with my cousin. It was on, like, Showtime or something randomly. And I was like, oh, cool. Hey, this is anime. Let's watch it. And we checked it out. And I was just like, whoa. Like, at the time, I was like 12, I think, 12 or 13.
Oh, my.
And then I watch it now, and I appreciate it just because it's, like, it's goofy and funny. But, yeah, I could see how a lot of people... could get weirded out by
totally
when did you see that? Like, at what age were you?
Oh my gosh, that was a long time ago. That was high school for me.
Okay.
But yeah, that totally threw me off. I was like, how could anime be like this? I didn't know
you
that.
Thought
kind
it
of
was
stuff.
All I thought it pretty was all boys pretty, in tuxedo
exactly.
mask and talking cats and not really curvaceous women.
Yeah.
With that seem to not wear any bras. I think in Golden Boy that happens a lot.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know about that, and then I mentioned it to my cousin because she knew more about anime than me at the time. So I would ask her. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I walked in on this horrible anime. I can't believe it's anime." She's like, "Oh, well, at least it's not hentai, you know?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh,
there's worse."
I was like, "What is that?
Tentacles? What?"
And she, you know, she explained it to me, you know, I was And I was really innocent at the time, you know, like, I didn't even want to know about this whole, like, growing up and getting married and what you do when you're married, you know, that whole kind of thing. And she told me, and I was like, oh, God, really? That stuff really exists? Okay. Anyways, I'm going to stick to my happy anime.
Yeah, stick to the Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, nothing wrong with a guy showing his bare chest.
Yeah.
You know, Goku does that a lot, but it's because his clothes got blasted off.
Yeah.
So, in terms of me, weird anime, see, with you guys, like, well, maybe Gion specifically, like, Gion likes to stay to what he likes. Sometimes me, I'm like a masochist in terms of, I like watching bad stuff sometimes. School days, of course. And, a really weird anime that I've seen recently, I don't know what compelled me to watch it. I read so many reviews about the series, about how bad it is, and I read the premise myself and told myself, how could they produce something like that? And it's Kiss X Sis. So if you guys aren't familiar with that, it's a series that was an OVA series, and it's actually airing right now. It's in the spring season of anime, so 2010 anime. And I checked out just the first episode, just real quick, just little snippets. I was curious because as to why I got all these poor reviews. And basically the story in a nutshell is a guy, typically a typical guy, but he has two sisters, okay, two twin sisters, and his two sisters are in love with him. Mind you, they're not related by blood. And the awkward thing is that the parents are sort of condoning the actions of the sisters, saying, oh, it's okay, you're not related by blood, you guys can be lovey-dovey.
Go for it.
And I was just like, whoa, what is this? And, okay, the main dude is, like, he fantasizes about his, like, stepsisters, I guess, but sisters nonetheless, and I'm just like, okay, whatever, all right. I tried to get past that. But then the creepy thing was the sisters, like, want their brother, like, badly. And that's what freaked me out, because, like, there's one part where, like, the sisters were, I think they're, like, sniffing his underwear or something. And then at that point, I was just like, well, I think one episode is enough for me. So I went ahead, I just streamed it. And then I was just like, dude, wow, okay, I'm done. I know why. I would never watch this series. And I also checked out Queen's Blade, and I told Gion a little bit about that. They have it streaming on the Media Blasters website, if you're curious. So, that anime is in a league of its own in terms of fan service. And, I wouldn't really watch the rest of the series. And I'm not, you know, making fun of anybody that enjoys Queen's Blade. I've actually heard that it has a nice, intricate story laced beneath the fan service. So, for me, I'm not going to give it a chance, but to all those who are fans of it, I'm sure you have your reasons, and that's fine. You're free to like whatever you want. So that's what sort of disconnected me from anime, Kiss Sexis. I wish that upon no ordinary otaku to watch. Okay, so I guess it's my turn. I got into anime much like the rest of my co-hosts here. A little bit of Dragon Ball Z in the mornings. I remember watching it, waking up 6 in the morning to check out the newest episode of Dragon Ball Z that played on Channel 9. And I would get mad at myself because back then we didn't have the magical world of DVR. So if I missed it, that was it for the week. But luckily, DBZ has these wonderful recaps that take up almost half the episode. So that was always a plus.
Done by Macho Man.
And they were done by Macho
Not
Man.
Really, but
Not like really, but it sounds like Macho Man. Macho Man Randy Savage. And I got started watching that. At the time, I didn't know it was anime. Much like what's been previously discussed. I was just thinking, this is just another cartoon. I watch stuff like Ninja Turtles, and I watch a lot of Nicktoons like Doug, Rugrats, all that stuff. So I lumped them all together in one. And it was when I went to a sleepover to my friend's house, and he had this VHS copy of Tenchi Muyo, and he popped it in, and I watched it. And it was really different from, I would say, Dragon Ball Z, since Tenchi Muyo is a space comedy and also a harem series as well. And I was just drawn in by just like the weirdness of it and the uniqueness that the premise had to deal with like aliens, and the main character had like alien blood in him. It got kind of convoluted and really intricate. And my friend just said, "Oh, let's watch some anime. And this is anime." And when he said that, I was like, "Oh, like I didn't know, like, this is anime." And he said, "Yeah, you watch Dragon Ball Z, right? That's anime." So from then on, I sort of been trying to find more anime, but the only outlets I had was television, seeing as, you know, the budget of a 13-year-old is about $5 for, you know, the week. So I couldn't really afford anime at the time. Luckily I had a bunch of rich friends that were I was able to loan from, and much like Gian, I had a friend that loaned me Neon Genesis Evangelion, and I watched a whole series on VHS, and that was really cool. I watched it dubbed, and I really dug it. That was the first time. I think I watched it when I was in 7th, 8th grade, so I was 13 or 14 at the time. And these are some crazy issues. I'm a 13-year-old watching, so Shinji is also in junior high, so it was as if I'm watching someone, like a fellow classmate, going through all this, and I was like, wow, this is really overwhelming. At the time, I was sort of mocking Shinji, like, how can, you know, this guy's such a crybaby, he has a bunch of daddy issues. But, I rewatched the series when I got older, and I learned why he had those issues, why he's this way. And it just went on from there. I really enjoyed Evangelion so much, and whatever was on Toonami, I tried to watch. But there's a period where I didn't have cable television, and it sucked. And I had all my friends talking about the latest episode of Dragon Ball, and Channel 9 stopped airing them, and I was just like, "Oh man, I'm missing the Cell game."
Missing power up for 10 episodes.
Still, man, that's a power up, dude. There's some fist thrown at least for a minute, I'm sure.
You know, the feeling blew up or something.
Blew up. Like, it was just mainly television, and I didn't start searching for anime specifically until my parents hosted a Japanese foreign exchange student. So we hosted this foreign exchange student for a half a year, and I caught him one day reading manga. And it was actually the first issue, or the second issue, of Shonen Jump, monthly Shonen Jump. So this was America, or Viz. Viz actually licensed all these titles, and they were releasing a monthly series, much like what was going on in Japan, where they would release all these manga chapters weekly or monthly, what have you. And I was all like, "Oh, that looks like Dragon Ball." And he was like, "Yes, yes, this is manga. You read manga?" And I was all like, "Oh, no, what is that?" And then he handed me the issue, and I read it. And right afterwards, I took a bus, went to Barnes & Noble, and picked up a copy myself. And that's when I started really searching for my own anime. So I would say that would be my key point in terms of my fandom, where I went to pursue my own taste. Yeah, it was cool, because that was the first time that I got introduced to, like, Naruto, One Piece, all those shonen titles. And I remember I was watching Adult Swim one time, and I was watching with the foreign exchange student, and he was talking to me about all the shows that he watched, and he liked stuff like Lupin the Third, Gao Geiger, Mazinger, all the old school anime, and I didn't know anything about this stuff because these things didn't get licensed over here. So he was trying to sort of, it was cool. I had sort of like a mini educator in anime, and he was actually just reading the manga to help beef up his English. And in return, he helped spark more interest in anime for me. And I was actually able to find my likes and dislikes in anime.
Cool.
I found that pretty cool. But I guess in terms of like my taste changing over time, it's more or less the same. I like a lot of shonen titles, the long-winded speeches, but I've grown to really try to take into account the suggestions of friends, because it's funny how a lot of my favorite series were suggested by all my friends who are into anime. Like, when I mentioned that my favorite series was Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann, in the first episode, one of my friends introduced me to that series when it just got started. He told me, you gotta watch this anime, it's up your alley, I know you'll love it. And I was so reluctant to watch it.
Year later.
Yeah, and here we are, a year later, and I'm buying the DVDs awaiting each special edition coming out. I actually waited 2 years, because the first year, Bandai released the sub-only DVDs, and then the year after that, they released the special edition dual audio DVD. So I had to wait 2 years to watch Gurren Lagann after sort of the hype died down. And I haven't regretted it since. Still my top series. And I would just say the major difference is I'm just more open to anime. Usually I was just more of an action guy.
Yeah. Forced me into Gundam.
Yeah, Gion forced me into Gundam. He teased me with the drama that is Gundam Seed and the teenage angst that is littered throughout the series and all the love triangles and the love, like, I would say, misunderstandings. Because I remember there's a point where I thought Kira and Kagali had a thing for each other. And then, little did I know, they pulled the Star Wars on you, so I wouldn't want to, you know... That's enough of a spoiler for those of you who have not seen Gundam Seed, but you can piece together that analogy. And yeah, I think it was just recently, this whole year could be dubbed the year of the Gundam for me, because when I checked out Gundam Seed, I watched 08 MS-Teen, I watched Mobile Suit Gundam, I'm now watching Gundam Wing. Jenny let me borrow her copies, so I'm watching that.
Was it Seed first that I got you into, or is it 08? I think I
Oh yeah, it was 08. It was 08.
I threw in. I just said it was like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, and then you already had me one over there, and then I checked.
It kind of was. So.
Yeah, it was. I ended up actually buying my own copy of 08 Team. I loved it that much, and I had no knowledge of any Mobile Suit Gundam prior. So I walked into that with a fresh mind, just absorbing the story as it's happening. But now I'm rewatching it, knowing the Mobile Suit Gundam storyline, and it enriches the experience that much more because of all the references.
Yeah, I mean, just knowing little things just makes it that much better.
Yeah, when they talk about what battles were occurring at the time, the status of Earth Federation. It's just crazy how they really laced everything together. They didn't just... See, I enjoyed it. What's cool is that I could say I enjoyed it not knowing anything about the original material, and I enjoy it even more now that I know the source material, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a really... That just shows how powerful the anime is. So, yeah, and G Gundam. Can't talk about Gundam without mentioning G Gundam. So I can't wait for that. I'm gonna go to that Gundam panel and do my long Domo and Kashi speeches there.
Oh,
so be prepared, School of the Undefeated of the East.
So, I kind of wonder if they rewrote the script for that stuff or was straight translation.
I'll let you know because I have the DVDs added to cart on my Ride Stuff account. So I'm just waiting to order it. When I hit Anime Expo this year, and if I can't find it for cheaper, I'm going to go ahead and order the series and rewatch it both in English and Japanese, and I'll let you know of the differences. But come on, like Thundering Hooves, Cries of Revenge, I'm sure that sounds Japanese-esque to me.
I don't know. That series was like simultaneously well-written and random. I mean, just his lines, his speeches were...
The voice actor too was so funny because
there
was so many times where I laughed because the situation was serious, but the way that the line was delivered sounded funny. Because like, there's a scene where, you know, the bad guy kidnaps the girl, And then Dobon just says, like, the bad guy gives this long speech about how he's going to take over the world. And then Dobon just, and like, his only response to him is, like, either shut up or you monster. And that's it. It's like, no big response. Like, give me the girl of my dreams back and I will defeat you. Like,
the best is the key love scene.
I love you. Yeah. It's like he's angry at Rain, but at the same time he's trying to sincerely mean it that he loves her. Because he shouts the whole series. I mean, there's never once where Domon's like serious. Even when he has a serious moment, it's like, this is my brother, Kyoji. Like, he sounds mad. So it's funny. I love that series. It's definitely one of my classics. I would even go as far to say probably in like my top 10. Maybe number 10. So I think that about wraps up our sort of starting point in anime. And you can see a lot of similarities, seeing as we both grew up in the, I would say, the Dragon Ball Z generation. So it's sad to see Toonami go. We could save it for another time, but we could maybe talk about just how people are getting into anime today. Like, my younger brother is actually into anime, and the way that he's getting his outlet to anime is completely different from us, which is kind of cool. I think it's really unique the way that all these like just the differences between the generations of fans. So. I guess our humble beginnings in anime have been told for your listening pleasure. We'll go ahead and take a break, and then after that, we'll wrap things up with our conclusion. And this concludes another episode of Bright Slap. I want to go ahead and thank my friend Jenny for helping us out with this week's episode. Can we expect to see you in a future episode?
Definitely. It's been my pleasure. I mean, I'm totally down to do another episode with you guys. I will totally bring more to the table.
I think it's really fun to have, again, like, another person to the podcast, because normally it's like duos that I hear a lot. But when there's three people, it seems like things could really, like, in terms of the opinions and what all of us have to say, it gets really interesting. Alright, so for future episodes, Anime Expo 2010 is drawing near, so we're thinking about if we're going to cover any topical issues, it would center around the anime community as a whole. So look forward to that. I know Gian and I still have to do our Gundam Unicorn review. It got pushed back, but I think one of these days we'll rewatch it again and just right afterwards do a quick mini review, and that will maybe be like a 20-minute podcast. A mini bright slap, like a tap on the cheek. So look forward to that. I think we got some good topics going on, and I will be checking out, hopefully Jenny pulls through with her ticket, but I'll be checking out the Haruhi Suzumiya movie next week. It will be next Thursday, so depending on when we record, I will have my thoughts on the movie for all y'all, and I'll recommend whether or not to see it. To conclude, this is Jim and
Jenny.
Please refer to our website, www.brightslap.blogspot.com, and you could go ahead and check for the latest listings of our episodes and also any random postings that we might do, and just subscribe to us on iTunes. You could search for us there as well. So thanks for listening.